Glory to God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And so, Father, we honor you, we honor your word, and we honor the author, the Holy Spirit himself. We yield ourselves to the Spirit of the living God as our teacher and as our guide. We thank you for uncovering, opening up, revealing to us your word, the truths of your word. Hallelujah. And as we know the truth, that truth brings liberty and freedom to our lives. And even as we're talking about healing, I thank you that we are healed and we are healthy and we are whole. We are strong physically in the name of Jesus, strong mentally in the name of Jesus, strong spiritually in the name of Jesus. We are healed, healthy, and whole from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet in the precious, mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Ephesians chapter 2. We've been talking on healing. Ephesians chapter 2. So last week we found out that healing is a God-given benefit. One of the benefits that we have as children of God. One of the benefits that's available to us as the family of God. Healing is a benefit. And thanksgiving is a key to our enjoying the benefit of healing. Right? And so then today I want us to start off here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. In the Amplified, says this, "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them." And while we're walking in these paths, He wants us to live the good life. Living the good life. Living the good life. Living the good life. This is His plan. This is His will, that we would be living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. He's already thought about us. He's already planned and prepared for us. He's already prearranged and made ready for us to live the good life. This is His will. This is His plan. This is His thoughts towards us. Living the good life. Living the good life. Say, I'm living the good life. I'm living the good life. I'm living the good life. Thank you, Lord, for the good life. So, what did we find out last week? We found out when we read Acts 10:38, the Bible says how God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. He went about doing good and healing. Good and healing. We found out that healing is good. Right? Healing is good. And so, God has prearranged that we should be living the good life, living the good life. So some of that good, part of that good life, would be healing and health for our bodies. So the title of my message today is God Wants Me to Have It. Let's say that together. God wants me to have it. Amen. One more time. God wants me to have it. Hallelujah. He does. He does. Glory to God. Last week we talked about thankfulness. Today I want to talk about God wants me to have it. Talking about healing. God wants me to have it. Healing. God wants me to have it. It's His will. He wants us to live the good life. He wants us to live the healed life, the healthy life, a whole life, wholeness. Whoo! Amen? It's His plan. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. I want to read a couple of these scriptures that we read last week. Just remind us. God wants us to live the good life. He wants us to live the good life. So Matthew 8:17. Matthew 8:17 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. God wants us to live the good life. God wants us to live the healed life. So, Jesus Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Right? Hallelujah. And then if we go to 1 Peter 2:24, and verse 24 says, Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. We were healed. You were healed. I was healed. We were healed. And if we were healed, right? If we look back in time, if the past is that way, if we look back in time, we were healed. And so if we move forward to now, we are healed. If we were, we are. Amen? If we were, we are. And I'm not making this up, right? I mean, this is the Bible. We're just reading Scripture, the inspired Word of God. God said that by whose stripes, Jesus' stripes, we were healed. We were healed. God wants us to live the good life. God wants us to live the healed life. And so, He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And so, by His stripes, we were healed. Amen? He wants us to live that way. So, He went about to make it available to us. This is the way He wants us to live, so He took care of it for us. Hallelujah. He made healing and health available. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. An interesting phrase or an interesting wording here. John chapter 3, verse 16. Most everybody knows this verse. If they don't know the verse, they've seen the reference on sports television for decades. Right? John 3:16. What is that? This is what it is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God wants us to live the good life. God wants us to live the healed life. So He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So by His stripes we were healed. Why? Why? Because He loves all of humanity. For God so loved the world. Talking about the people in the world. He loves humanity. See, sometimes the only time we kind of read this verse is when we got born again. We got come into the church and we hear it. We got our Bible and we read it. For God so loved the world. Ooh, He loved me. He loved me. He loved me. And we forget that He loved us before we loved Him. He loved us before we even got to the church. He loved us before we even read the Bible. He loved us, why? Because He loved the world. So sometimes we think, well, God so loved the world, and we think about us, and we think about the church, and because we're all quoting the same scripture, and we forget that to remind ourselves that when it says the world, it means everybody. Everybody. Not just the people in the room, but the people in the parking lot. The people in the neighborhood. God loves everybody. For God so loved. Why? Why? Why has He come to give us this good life, this healed life? Why does He want us to have it? Because He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. God loves all humanity so much that He gave us His Son. So He gave us His Son, why? To purchase our freedom. To purchase our healing. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. In the sending of Jesus, what did He do? He purchased our freedom. Our freedom from sickness and disease. Our freedom from everything that's bad. But we're talking about healing. He sent Jesus. He gave us His Son to purchase our freedom. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And we'll read verse 28, but we're really wanting to get to the last phrase in verse 28. So let's start. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer, or a pastor or a leader, to feed the church of God. Now, what about the church of God? Which He has purchased with His own blood. Jesus has purchased us with His own blood. So again, He's purchased all of humanity. His blood has been shed to purchase our freedom for all of humanity. Those who are enjoying it are those who have entered into the family, those who have made Jesus their Lord, and those who actually know and understand their benefits, right? If we don't know our benefits, it's hard to enjoy the result of our benefits. But when we know our benefits, then we take ownership. Amen? If you know what's yours, you don't just let anyone walk off with it. That's mine. Get your hands off of it. And so the devil has a hard time stealing stuff from us or taking stuff from us when we know what's ours. God wants me to have it. Healing is ours. Good health is ours. Glory to God. And so Jesus has purchased our freedom, as we see here, with His own blood. Did you know the Bible says, and I think it's in Leviticus, it says the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. In other words, you drain the blood out, there's no more life. If we leak enough blood, we all get tired and weak and fall over. And then if we leak the rest out, we're dead. Right? The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when Jesus gave His life, He spilt His blood. He made a purchase with His blood. His blood, there's power in that blood. And His blood was a pure blood because there was no sin in it. He never sinned. So His blood is what the Bible calls spotless blood. And so His blood was the only blood that could buy and purchase our freedom. Because it wasn't contaminated. Hallelujah. Precious blood, precious blood. And He purchased our freedom. You know, He gave His life, spilt His blood. We give our lives. You know, and there's a phrase, blood, sweat, and tears. You know, they gave their life. They gave blood, sweat, and tears. To make that business work, He gave His life. She gave her life. When they went to war, I was reminded of, as I was preparing, I saw this this statement about 17-year-olds. And back in, when was World War I, World War II? 17-year-olds, where were they? What were they doing? They were fighting for their country. They were giving their lives for their nation. Well, 17-year-olds now are looking at their phones and playing games. See, the military, the armed forces, those that have gone before us, gave their lives and fought for our freedom. those that fought and came back, and there's those fought that didn't come back. They literally gave their lives. It's an honorable thing. It's something that we ought to remember and to thank God for. Our freedom was bought and purchased. It's in the natural by men and women who gave blood, sweat, and tears. And how much more has our Savior given His blood for all of humanity? Those that are interested in Him and those who hate Him, He gave His life for all humanity. It wasn't given just because, hey, you like me? Let me give my blood for you. You don't like me? You can deal with it. You can go to hell. No, that's not God's idea. That's not His plan. That's not His, the way He thinks. For God so loved the world. And so He bought and He purchased our freedom. So I'm kind of thinking is, a lot of people have not had to give their life for much. You know, World War I, World War II, I mean, things have kind of quieted down and kind of somewhat stabilized somewhat, and to where most people, we're just living fine. You know, and so we've really not had to give our lives for much. And you go back a couple thousand years, and those who believed in Jesus, those that prayed in tongues, you move up even 1,000 years ago. I mean, they were burning those people at stakes because it's not normal. This is kind of strange. This praying in tongues thing. This singing hallelujah, and they gave their lives for what sometimes we can take for granted: this peace, this freedom, this ability to gather together and to talk about Jesus, this ability to pray in the Spirit, to sing in other tongues, and to walk out the door and pray in tongues, and pray in tongues at home, pray in tongues in our backyard. Hallelujah, glory to God. This freedom. But it always hasn't been this freedom that we enjoy. Being able to talk to people about Jesus. He purchased our freedom with His blood. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says this. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Ooh, hallelujah. In whom we have redemption through His blood. So this purchasing that He did with His blood, this freedom that He bought for us with His blood, is called redemption. We have redemption through His blood. What does the word redemption mean? The Greek word redemption can also be translated or defined as to pay ransom, and deliverance. To pay ransom and deliverance. So Jesus, with His blood, He bought our freedom. What does that mean? That means He paid the ransom to free us. We had a debt. The wage of sin is death. Right? In other words, we had this death. We had this debt, which was death. The wage of sin is death. And so we sinned. Now we owe, or the wage of that, is death. But Jesus, for God so loved the world, He sent Jesus. And Jesus did what? He paid the ransom. He paid the price for us, right? You know, someone gets kidnapped, and the kidnappers say, "You give us a bunch of money, and we'll let you have this person back." You notice that they don't just kidnap anybody. No, they look for someone who has lots of money and influence and who loves their children. And so then they kidnap them because then they have the money. Right? This is the way the devil thinks. So there's a ransom. We'll do this exchange. An exchange, that's mine. It's not yours. There's no exchange. That's mine. You give it back. But this ransom and so he paid the ransom. He with his blood he bought and purchased, paid for. He became our substitute. The wage of sin is death. So what did he do? He took our place. He paid the price. He died for us. Jesus is our Redeemer. We have, in whom we have redemption through His blood. His blood, the spilling of His blood, the giving of His blood, the giving of His life, paid the ransom, set us free, brought us deliverance. Good news. Amen. Hallelujah. And so with His blood, Jesus purchased our salvation. We can say it that way. What does the word salvation mean? The word salvation means this. It's the Greek word soteria, and it means rescue. See, so with His blood, Jesus, we have redemption through His blood. He bought our freedom. He purchased our freedom. Or we could say it this way, He purchased our salvation. Because when we make Jesus the Lord of our life, we are saved, or we have entered into, we have received salvation. We got a hold of salvation. Salvation means rescue. It means safety. It means deliver. It means health. And it means saving. In the Hebrew, it also means prosperity, wholeness, and victory. Glory to God. He purchased our salvation. He purchased our freedom. He rescued us, right, with His blood. He set us free. He delivered us. And He healed us. He purchased our healing. He purchased our health. He purchased our deliverance. Deliverance from everything that's wrong. Everything that's of the curse, not of God. God wants me to have it. God wants you to have it. And so Jesus came and He purchased, He redeemed us, He saved us. We have entered into salvation. Let's go ahead and go to Galatians chapter 3, just a couple pages back. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14. We see this. We see Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles or the nations through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit or the promise that the Spirit made through faith. So what do we see here? We see two things. He redeemed us from something and redeemed us to something. Right? So He paid the ransom to deliver us from something, and He paid the ransom to deliver us to something. Amen? He delivered us from. He paid the ransom to deliver us from the curse of the law. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. See, He became our substitute. He took our place. He became a curse for us. He paid the ransom with His life. He became the curse for us. That's what we read. That's what we read in Matthew 8:17 and 1 Peter 2:24. This is Jesus taking the curse on Him. He bore our sicknesses. He carried our diseases. And by His stripes, we were healed. He redeemed us from the curse and to the blessing. He paid the ransom. He purchased our freedom from the curse, which is holding us down, keeping us down. And He raised us up. To the blessing. He placed us into the blessing. We didn't have to earn the blessing any more than we had to earn our deliverance and our freedom. For God so loved the world, He bought your and my freedom. He bought your and my redemption. He paid for it. Amen? We didn't earn it. He loved us. He bought it. He paid for it. He redeemed us. He purchased our freedom. And all we need to do is believe and receive. We believe and we receive. So He redeemed us from the curse to the blessing. This is redemptive talk. This is ransom talk. This is deliverance talk. This is Jesus' blood, what He's purchased. This is purchasing talk, redemptive talk. Redemptive talk talks about substitution. He took our place. He became our substitute. Jesus took our place so He could lift us up to His place. Amen? He took our place. He came down to take our place so He can lift us up and bring us to His place. The Bible says when we got born again, Ephesians chapter 2, that we've been raised up together with Him, made to sit together with Him in heavenly places. Amen? He raised us up and placed us with Him, seated with Him. He took our place. Raised us up to His place. Glory to God. This is redemptive talk. This is substitution. This is why we can see and understand God wants us to have it. He wants us to have healing. He went to a lot of effort to make it ours. Lets us know He wants us to have it. Amen. God wants me to have it. He wants you to have it. Now, our redemption is threefold. We're talking about one, but I do want us to let us know that their redemption is threefold. So it has to do with our spirit. Number one, we're getting born again. So the curse is spiritual death, right? The wages of sin is death. So our redemption is, we see, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, lets us see this redemptive talk in regards to our spirit. It says, "For He, God, has made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin." So when Jesus, the only way Jesus could take our place, go to hell, pay the price for our sin, and to be raised from the dead is the only way to get to hell is sin. Right? The wages of sin is death. And so this was our destiny. This is what we had earned with our sin, but He took our place. He became our substitute. And so we see here that God made Him to be sin. He didn't sin, but He was made to be sin. What does that mean? That means your and my sin was placed on Him. The price, the penalty for our sin was placed on Him. He who knew no sin, God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So, He was made to be sin. And because He was then made to be sin, the devil thought, whew, I got him. And he took him to hell. And when justice was satisfied, when the price was paid, the Bible says that the Spirit of God, the glory of God, entered into hell. Entered into Jesus, and He was quickened. He was made alive. And the Bible says that he threw back all principality and powers, and he took back the keys from the devil, and he walked out victorious and free. Amen? Hallelujah. So, he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, we didn't know any righteousness. We endeavored to try to be righteous, to be as right as we could be, to try to do as much good as we can. But this standard of righteousness, we would go like this. We'd head towards it, and then we would sin. Head towards it, sin. Head towards it, sin. We could never make this standard. We could never meet this standard because of the weakness of our flesh. And so God sent Jesus. He not only became our substitute, he became our freedom maker. He was made to be sin so we could be made the righteousness of God. We've been made righteous. We have right standing with God. Not because we earned it, it's because we received it. Jesus gave it. We who knew no righteousness were made to be the righteousness of God in him. So that's number one. That's number one fold of these threefold. Okay, number one is spiritual death is the curse, but he brought and gave us righteousness. Number two, sickness and disease is part of the curse. And we can see that. I mean, if we're not going to read it. Well, yeah, you know what? Let's go back. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. And if we read verse 60 and 61. Verse 60 says this. Look at this phrase. Verse 60 says, all the diseases. Verse 61 says, every sickness and every plague or affliction. All disease, every sickness, and every plague or affliction. And if we go back to verse 22, verse 22 in there has these two words. Fever and inflammation. And what are these? Well, verse 16 says, verse 15. But it shall come to pass that if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses, say all these curses, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So then he begins talking about curses. So we see in verse 22 that fever and inflammation is part of the curse. And then we get to 60, all disease is part of the curse. 61, every sickness and every plague or affliction is part of the curse. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse. So he's redeemed us, part of the curse. All disease, every sickness, and every plague, affliction, fever, and inflammation. He has redeemed us. We're talking about healing, right? Healing. And so we already saw Matthew 8:17. He took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we were healed. So healing is the second fold. Okay, of the threefold redemption, first fold we see the curse is sin, or death, but he's made us the righteousness of God. The second one we see is sickness and disease. Part of the curse, sickness and disease. But Jesus bore our sickness, carried our diseases, by his stripes we were healed. So healing is the answer. See? Threefold redemption. And then number two, we see the first 15 verses, or the first, I guess, 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28 talk about prosperity. And then he starts talking about the curse. And most of what's in that curse is talking about sickness and disease, but there is some poverty and lack in there. So I want us to see spiritual death, sickness, and poverty and lack are the threefold curse. But we have a threefold redemption, bringing us what? Righteousness, healing. And let's go to 2 Corinthians 8, 9. So we're very close. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. We'll just kind of, my mind's on the same page. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says this, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor. Why? Can you hear substitution? This is redemptive talk. He was rich. Not only was he rich in heaven, but he came here. Now that's poverty compared to heaven. But our redemption is not based on him coming from heaven. Our redemption is based on what he did here on the earth. He became our substitute. So he became poor. He was rich. I mean, he had a treasurer who was taking some money for himself, and nobody of his staff knew about it. I mean, if you only have $5 in there, I mean, you can actually tell, you know what, we had $5 and then now there's three. What happened to the other two? You know, but if you had 523, if you had 5,010, and now you got, you know, 4,097, I mean, you got 50,000, and all of a sudden, you know, pieces can miss, and then you really don't know. So he was rich. They gambled for his clothes. You know, you don't gamble for a $49 suit. No, you will gamble for a $2,000 suit. Right? Who wants it? Well, I want it. Well, I want it too. Well, I want it too. Okay. So let's play rocks, paper, and scissors. You know, let's. Everyone can't have a piece of it because then it's not valuable anymore. So they gambled for his clothes. He was rich, but he became poor that through his poverty, when he hung on that cross, he hung naked. Everything was gone. Everything. He became poor for us that through his poverty, look at this, through his poverty, we might be rich or be made rich. Or become, the Greek word is to become rich, wealthy, and increasing with goods. So this is our threefold redemption. See, the curse, spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. Our threefold redemption is righteousness, healing, and rich. Glory to God. Threefold redemption, rich and wealthy. God wants us to have healing and health in our bodies. Right? Threefold redemption. And one of them has to do with the healing of our bodies. The health of our bodies. Glory to God. So God wants us to have it. He wants us to have it. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2:4. We read this in our our prayer this morning, pre-service prayer. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. See, after he talks about praying for our government and praying for those in leadership, verse 4 says that this is God's, verse 3, for this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men or mankind or humanity to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. What is his will? That all would be saved. That all would be saved. God's will. God's will, right? That's what it says. His will is that all mankind would be saved. Amen? Is that what it says? That's what it says. That all would be saved. Well, the word saved is related to the word salvation, right? Saved and salvation. Saved and salvation. Well, the word saved is the Greek word sozo. S-O-Z-O. Sozo. And it means save. It means delivered, protected, healed, preserved, to do well, to be or to make whole. Hallelujah. For God's will, his desire, is that all mankind would be saved, would be healed, would be made whole, would be delivered, would be protected and preserved, would do well. This is his will. So again, God wants me to have it. God wants you to have it. Amen? Let's say that together again. God wants me to have it. God wants me to have it. Healing. He wants me to have it. How do we know? Because his will is that all mankind be saved. That all mankind would be delivered. That we would all be healed, delivered, preserved, saved, made whole. It's His will. It's His will. It's His plan. Let's go to 3 John 2. 3 John 2. 3 John. There's the regular big John, and then there's three little Johns. There's 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And 3 John, 2 John, and 3 John basically are one chapter each. So 3 John, verse 2. 3 John, verse 2. And remember, John, he's an interesting guy, because when he wrote his book, the big John, every time he referred to himself, he didn't say, I, or Jesus and me, I mean, we, no. He said, the disciple whom Jesus loved. The disciple whom Jesus loved. He's telling the gospel as he lived. But he stepped out of it and say, the disciple whom Jesus loved asked the Lord. The disciple whom Jesus loved. And we see in the book of Acts, the first martyr of the church was John's older brother, James. They killed him. And then they tried to kill Peter, and the church began to pray. They didn't want to lose any more disciples. They didn't want to lose any more apostles. So they began to pray, and the angel came and set them free. But years later, because Jesus told them, he said, you read in John 21, that Jesus revealed, John 20, John 21, one other, that time where Jesus was sending them off. And Peter said, looking over at John, says, what's he going to do? You know, can we do stuff together? And Jesus said, you know, did this after the Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you. Lord, you know I love you. And then he said, you follow me. Don't worry about what John's doing. You know, you follow me. And so in that, Jesus told him how he was going to die, the Bible says. That they're going to stretch out your arms where you don't want to. And so they crucified him. So years later, Peter was crucified. And I think history tells us that he didn't want to be crucified like Jesus, so he decided to be crucified upside down. I wasn't there, I don't know. But the John, they continually tried to kill John. John wouldn't die. He wouldn't die. It says they even tried to boil him in oil. And when they pulled him out of the boiling oil, he didn't fall apart. He was still all together. And they couldn't figure it out, so they just stuck him on an island. Well, here, just, go over there. You can't do any harm over there. And the Holy Ghost had authored through John the book of Revelation. So John wrote John and 1st and 2nd and 3rd and Revelation. So he's got five books in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit used him to author. Authored through him. And so we see here, aged, the elder, verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. The elder, John, he's been around for a while. He knows what he's talking about. He's lived this life. He's proven it. He's demonstrated it. He's experienced. This is not the rookie John. No, this is the elder John, the elder. In verse 2, he says, beloved, I wish or pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. He says, above everything else, this is my prayer, this is my desire. King James says, above all things. Above all things, I'm praying above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. New King James says that you would prosper in all things. King James says, above all things. This is my highest prayer for you. When it comes to everything, my desire is that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God wants us to have it. Healing. He wants us to have healing. And John knew that. And he said, above everything else, this is my prayer and my desire for you, that you would prosper and that you would be in health. Amen? Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. It says, and there came a leper to him, to Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. He understood that Jesus had the power to heal him. He had no problem with that. God's a healer. Yeah, we know that. But too many people in the body of Christ then pray this prayer, if it be your will. Why do they pray, if it be your will, when they know God's a healer? If it be your will. Because they're not sure. See, they're confused because they haven't been taught the Word of God. They haven't been taught that it's God's will for everyone to be healed. We just have spent the last 40 minutes, 50 minutes, talking about His will is for us to have it. All of humanity, it's His will that we all be healed. And this guy came and he said, I know you can, I'm just not sure you will heal me. And that's why a lot of people in the body of Christ pray, if it be your will, because they don't know. They have no confidence that what He will do, that He will do it for them. But we've just spent enough time in the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, reading the Word of God, finding out that His will is for you and me to be healed. His will is for everybody to be healed. Jesus paid the price for all humanity. It's God's will that all, say all be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. And see, it's the knowledge of the truth. It's the knowledge of our benefit that gives us the confidence to take hold of that benefit. If we don't know that we have statutory holidays off, then a crooked employer would make us work all the time. And we would have no idea. But when we found out we have a legal right to stay home on statutory holidays and our employers pay us, then you will find that we will never go to work on a statutory holiday. You will never. Not unless you pay us twice as much. Right? They have to pay. You don't even ask them, would you like to pay me? They go, I have to pay you. Right? No, there's no option. You work today, all the staff gets paid double. So we better make some good money today. And so some places are open and some places are not. Because it's not worth it. But see, when we know our benefits, then we take advantage of our benefits. And so He wants all to be saved and call them to the knowledge of the truth. And so when this guy, he asked the question, I know you can. If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said, so here's the answer. He said, I will. I will. I will. For you, the answer is I will. For me, the answer is I will. And when I look across this crowd, his name or his word to you, his will for you is I will. I will. It's I will to you. It's I will to me. It's I will to everyone. I will be clean. And what happened? Verse 42. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. Straightway, when he said, I will, the guy had confidence now. Really? He said, now be clean. And he received it. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. He was healed. Glory to God. So, he said, if you can, I will. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. The last, I think, last seven words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The last seven words of verse 26. The last seven words of verse 26. Exodus 15, verse 26. God says, I am the Lord. King James, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm the Lord that heals you. God wants us to be healed. How do we know that? One of his names, one of the names that he goes by, when you call him, he answers. This is one of his names, Jehovah Rapha. Meaning what? I am the Lord that heals you. Yud He Vav He Rapha. The Lord who heals me. It's his name. For him to not want to heal us, he'd have to change his name. Right? But God's not changed. He hasn't changed his name. Hebrews says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. There's no variableness, no shadow of turning in him. He's not one way on the even days and one way on the odd days. No, 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 no. It doesn't matter which season, he's the same. He's our healer. He's our healer. And so I want to close with this last verse. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 18. Verse 17 says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. The end of verse 18 says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So this is one way to receive healing. Okay? One way to receive healing. Next week, we're going to get into a number of different ways. We're going to see healing is very important to God. Our healing and health is important to God. And so he proved it by providing a multitude, a bunch of ways to get healing to us. Okay? And this is just one of them. And so this morning, we want to pray for the sick. We want to do this. Lay hands on the sick, why? So that they can recover. And so this morning, we want to provide this opportunity to receive healing.